When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
You're listening to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray, and I am a licensed therapist, and I'm also the host of the show. I've had this show since 2015. It's been a while. I love it. I was just talking to Sally here. I'm getting ready to introduce you to you. But I love meeting new people. I love interviewing in some amazing, amazing people. If you've been listening to this for a while, you know who I'm talking about. And it's just been a really honor and delight. And so today, it's no exception. I'm really looking forward to talking with Sally Lee Stewart. She is an author of a book that we're going to be talking about. It's related to mental health, and it's related to working through that concept of feeling like a victim and into more empowerment and forgiveness. And we're going to be talking about that. And so, Sally, let's get right into it. Well, first of all, welcome to the show. And tell us a little bit about you as a person, as Sally Lee Stewart, and what prompted you to write this book?
I always loved to write as a child. I started writing a journal when I was 13. I did a lot of nature writing and went up through school, through university. Had a winding path, but in short, I tried to write a book when I was younger, and a novel based on my family, and I didn't succeed. And I went into education. I became certified as an education specialist, and I just felt that, you know, I didn't have the aptitudes to be a writer, and there were plenty of writers and plenty of great literature, and that the thing that I seemed to be really good at was working with children. And I was especially interested in helping children who had learning differences and working one-on-one or in small groups. So I got a mild moderate disability credential and a master's in learning and instruction. And I just very passionately went into that work, working in different communities and updating outdated programs and just loving teaching reading to kids who other teachers hadn't been able to teach reading to. And I thought, gosh, I'm so glad I'm not an artist. I really love this. And a lot of time went by, and came to pass that I wrote this book. And I had one of those life experiences where there's great loss and shock, and it kind of awakens you. And I thought, I don't have any secrets. I have nothing to hide. And dread is a burden. And I feel that the story, I haven't seen anyone tell this particular story. And I've seen a lot of formulas out there in books and characters that didn't seem life. I was feeling I wanted to create a portraiture of a life and without hiding things. So that was a lot of the impetus on an intellectual level, but I think on a heart level, I just had to write. I just started writing every day, and it was sort of my lifeline to my mental health. And this book wasn't the first thing I wrote. I wrote 200 pages of what I would call a memoir. And then I was excited about it. I was just writing it for me, but then I thought, well, maybe this would be healing for someone else to read as well. And I talked to a publisher for about 45 minutes and I said, you know, let me get back to you because I think that this isn't the what I'm going to write first. So then I decided to write a novel, fictionalize, and not write a memoir, but have a much longer time frame. The protagonist goes from 3 years old to 33 years old.
Nice.
And then 400 pages later, we got around to hello. I wrote that book, and the team came on board to help me with a developmental edit and all the copy edits and proofreading.
Yeah.
Permission.
That's amazing. Like yeah. A lot of people who, especially if those have never gone through the process of writing a book and going to an editor and getting it published. And a lot of people don't realize all of the details that have to happen and all the things that need to, all the moving parts that need to happen. So before we get into the book, I'm really interested. Do you have a copy with you right there so you can lift it up and show us for those of you who are watching this? It's The Angle of Vanishing Stability by Sally Lee Stewart.
Yeah,
nice book, and it's the cover is a sailboat on the ocean there. Yeah, and you where you're at, you're in that area, right? In California, where you're near the ocean and being able to see the view. And do you have a boat?
I don't. I sail a lot, and I crew for people, and I am a member of a sailing school and club where you kind of, it's sort of like a library. You check out a boat.
That's neat.
And we're not allowed to race them or fly spinnakers, but it's a great way to learn to sail in a very difficult bay. San Francisco Bay is known to be one of the hardest places to sail because we have really strong wind and a lot of current. And this is like a legacy for many of my ancestors. Probably a lot of our ancestors, because we all had to go on boats to get to the different continents that we moved to over time. But like anyone from islands or British Isles or, you know, Mediterranean, a lot of us, I think, have sailing in our ancestry. It can come back as it did in my blood.
Mm-hmm. So I like the cover of the book, just the meaning of, I mean, right there by looking at the cover, you see the sailboat on some rough seas, the waves, and, you know, a life is a lot like that. And I really am interested in learning more about your book, and tell us a little bit about the antagonist and as much as you can. Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into great detail because we want people to buy the book, but tell us a little snippet of it.
Well, it takes place in the Bay Area and New York and Nicaragua. And it's depicting a post-World War II marriage. The parents are probably don't have a strong foundation to their relationship, but there's a lot of passion and there's connection and there's love. There's just no skill in maintaining the relationship. And there's a lot of sexism, and there's five daughters. So it's a difficult dynamic. And I tried to write it with a lot of compassion for the father living with these six women. And it was tricky because I wanted to also not hide the reality that this man had been conditioned and part of a culture where there was quite a bit of misogyny. And I don't believe anybody is just... I believe that most of us are kind of fragmented because we're in a hurt world with a lot of pain that remains to be healed. But I feel like I tried to show the father character as being complex and having a true self that was quite loving and very truthful and very emotional and very, very wise, very intelligent. But then another side that was maybe it's, you know, the mirror for the men not being allowed to have their feelings and therefore shutting out actual females too, you know, like.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of emotion. So you have multiple characters, it sounds like, and they're all going through their own struggle in their family. And is there, tell us a little bit about the main central character and a little bit about what they have gone through in this story.
Well, she's very intrepid and very, very rebellious. And she's really searching for herself. I don't think she knows who she is because she hasn't been really able to connect with her own feelings. So there's not a lot of, I think in psychology, you call it differentiation. There's not a lot of differentiation among the family members. And it's almost as though the children have just absorbed the mother and father's dynamic without any sense of autonomy. And so she's, but of course, every person is miraculous and very much their own essence. So this character, the protagonist, is always kind of going, trying to get through these waters to find her frequency. And she has issues. She becomes very stuck in, you know, always feeling like she has to have a boyfriend, and gradually becomes empowered, but it's a slow process. I wanted to try and show that even with therapy, and with skilled therapists, an individual might not make the progress because while they're being shown tools and becoming more aware of what they're feeling, the compulsions are so deep that they get repeating the pattern. Even though they've been told like, oh, it would be a good idea to live alone for a while, or be a good idea to enjoy the fantasy of getting to know the person without taking an action or something. And, you know, pearls to swine, whatever.
Well, I think that's really interesting because I think that's very common in my thinking about my own practice. And I meet with a lot of clients and that a lot of their struggles start with a lot of conflict, relational conflict, and it maybe creates attachment difficulties. And when they experience attachment difficulties and issues, then they become less in tune with who they are. Yeah. And who they want to be, or they emulate somebody else and then try to be someone that they're not.
Ooh. Yeah. Yes. Codependency is something that I think I succeeded in depicting in this family. And I thought of that when you were just describing that, because it's very disempowering to try and save somebody. And it does get you off track, you know?
Yeah, off track, distracted, and starting to have a low self-esteem and not really have a sense of direction. That's something that I've experienced with a lot of my clients. And sometimes when they go through, someone goes through a very difficult time in their childhood, let's say, and maybe they are a victim of abuse, or maybe they're a victim of trauma, or maybe it's just not a very good home life. It's a toxic home life. And it's, you can develop a sense of being a victim very early on. And when that happens, you feel trapped in your victimhood, if you will. But I think your book is this book of restoration and of hope. And that's really what a therapist tries to do, is address the hardships and the struggles of somebody, and then walk them through to a place where they feel confident in who they are and learn to embrace a new life, so to speak, and be able to experience forgiveness, perhaps, and extending forgiveness, because there is powerful, it's a lot of powerful, it's power to forgive. And a lot of people think, well, I can't forgive somebody, because if I forgive somebody, then that means they're off the hook. And I tell them, no, it's not, they're off the hook. You're free, because you're no longer hanging on to that grudge.
Amen. Yeah, it's a prison. It's quite powerful to reframe the story. I had a story about who I was and what my family was, and then it came to pass that I suddenly saw a whole different point of view from my father's side, and I felt compassion for him. I mean, that was somewhat gradual. I found letters he wrote during World War II to his family when my own son was a teenager. And I thought, wow, my dad was 17 when he wrote these letters. And I just understood so much. And I thought, that poor kid, man, he was so amazing and sensitive and beautiful and not getting the support he needed to be who he was. And he had an amazing family, you know, and my mother and my father were amazing people. And I'm very grateful to them, but it really came around to forgiving them that allowed me to feel more unified as a person. Like, I am the daughter of this man and this woman, where I felt so much separation and dissonance. But it's like, I was able to do the work to integrate that and like, wow, I did this, like light and dark, like I'm their child. And I'm also my own person, but I'm much more at peace because of the forgiveness, which is not a slick deal. It's a matter of being patient and you got.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Gotta feel it to heal it. And we live in a world that wants to distract us from our breath and our feeling.
Well,
There's a lot of layers.
Yeah, it is. And that's exactly right. And I appreciate you mentioning that, because when we spend a lot of time wanting to forget and a lot of time of trying to sweep things under the rug. And when we do that, we think we're healing. And we think we're being able to move on just to avoid those memories. But you know as well as I do, and you know, as what I teach my clients, that you can't avoid those feelings. In fact, it's not healthy to try to avoid them. And some of my clients have been hanging on to grudges for many, 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 many years. It's not until they realize that there is power in forgiving and there's healing that comes from letting go of a grudge. And 9 times out of 10, the other person that you hold a grudge to doesn't even know you have a grudge against them. And
oh, really?
So it's only affecting yourself.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so when you hang on to something like that, like a grudge, it doesn't change your past. There's nothing you can do to change the past. What it does do is change you. And when you don't release that, when you don't address the hurt and the pain that you have that someone caused, and then you be able to forgive that person, that's when true change can happen. But when you hang on to it and you try to bury it, I've talked to clients that are quite a bit older than I am that buried issues that they had with their family that happened when they were a child. Yeah. And all of these years, all of her life, this one person I'm thinking of was affected by this hanging on to this grudge. And it was kind of a miraculous thing when she realized that, oh, I can let go of this by forgiving this person, but I don't have to let them off the hook. I don't have to excuse what they did to me. I can still feel hurt and angry and upset and all these feelings, but I can forgive at the same time. And that was just a very freeing thing for this person.
That's huge. And yeah, there's that expression, nursing a grudge. And nursing is such a, like your is it a Buddhist expression or something? There's two different wolves. You know, one is angry and violent and the other is kind and takes care of the family and very loyal. Which one do you want to feed?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so human to want to escape pain. I've really enjoyed The Body Keeps the Score, and the book The Body Keeps the Score. Not going to be able to say the author's name correctly. It's like a Dutch sounding name, I know. But and then also, you made me think as well. I'm not able to recall. It's something in Gabor Mate's recent book, The Myth of Normal. Came to mind when you were talking. People who actually are convinced that they had great childhoods, happy childhoods, who are very hurt and being driven by wounds that are not getting in the light of day. I feel it's just an ongoing process because I'll think, oh, well, I'm pretty good at this now. And then I'll realize, wow, I was just escaping my feelings. I need to take a moment here. There was sadness there, or there was anxiety there, or there was, and I was doing a stiff upper lip thing and going to just be, you know, I'm just going to bulldoze through this. And it's like, wait, no. You know, I really like the work of Tara Brach. Radical acceptance and radical compassion, just simple mnemonics to stay present, stay breathing, and work more with the feeling world.
Yeah. I think all that is a really good technique to use. It may be a simple concept, but it's not a simple practice.
No, it's not. It's really hard. It's
really, really difficult. But I want to talk a little bit more about your book that you wrote. And I'm interested in really kind of honing in on, one, why should someone read this? What will someone get out of reading this book? You said it's a novel. And then who would be, if there's someone listening to this and they're thinking, well, I'm looking for my next book to read, or maybe they have a loved one or a friend that they're thinking of, oh, this might be a really good book to send them. Tell us a little bit about that. And why would someone read the book?
Maybe someone with a woman with a father daughter wound. Someone who grew up in a family where there was alcoholism, a man who loved novels and wanted to understand more a woman's point of view.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because a lot of times men don't realize that especially dads sometimes don't realize we have that influence over our daughters, and learning what that dynamic is. And maybe there might be a dad listening to this and he's thinking, gosh, I just ruined my relationship and regretting his past. maybe this would be a good book for him to read and to really understand the power dynamics there and going to his daughter and asking for forgiveness. Wouldn't that be beautiful?
That really would. And I have had some men readers get back to me quite enthusiastic. And one, I haven't had the chance to talk to him yet, but I will soon. I'd be interesting to talk to that about that aspect because he has a daughter. I also saw the possibility there might be people quite a bit younger than me who grew up in the digital age who might be interested to see what it was like to grow up before personal computers and iPhones or, you know, mobile phones, like how we related to each other, and just, it was a different world. And, you know, the planet wasn't quilted yet with internet. So there were some opportunities to connect with each other. That's just different than it is now. And the connection that the protagonist has with nature is very much something I'm hoping that might be, you know, unlocking a door for some people. But really, I would just like it to get into the hands of anyone who would benefit from reading it. And I've had some pretty excited women readers get back to me, and a smaller number of men readers. And then, of course, we really need to include all the fluidity and the non-binary readers who I welcome. And I mean, this book is very much a study on gender. So, I mean, my feeling is we're all individuals. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of emphasis in this culture on pigeonholing and labeling, but the beauty of what, you know, we have is that we are genetically each unique. I like to put the emphasis on the individual more than the gender.
Mm-hmm. We're human beings.
Yeah, that's right? So exciting. There's no other John. There's no other Sally. We are genetically unique in the universe. It's powerful.
It's powerful, and it's a connection that we all share. We have a common shared experience of being a human being. We have emotions. We have struggles. We have pain. We have relationship struggles. And it sounds like your book is really touches on a lot of that. And I can see anybody that's interested in family dynamics would be interested in this book.
Yeah, I think that it's like all art; it's a work in progress, and I learned so much writing this book. It's very sweet to experience readership. It's a new thing for me. Have a reader say, "Oh, I was up till 3 a.m. reading this book."
Your fans.
Well, and that I was able to, it was a tremendous amount of work and I benefited from writing it, but it's just so nice that it can be received, that it can become part of the culture, So
well, that's pretty exciting. Yeah. And we were talking earlier, sorry, Sally, I interrupted you there. But we were talking a little bit at the beginning here, right before we started recording, that you're thinking about even maybe writing some more in a series. So is this a part of a series that you're thinking about?
Yeah. I almost feel like I'm working for somebody else. Like I didn't think this all up. And I know a lot of authors say that, like, I was just servant to this other, you know, force that said I had to write the book. But, and maybe that's the subconscious, you know, on the cover of the book, it's 2/3 ocean and it shows turbulence, but that's also such a rich part of who we are. And so maybe that guide is coming from my subconscious, but the arc of the story, that I was really struck with was over 6 decades, showing a breakthrough that happens quite a ways down the road, but a real breakthrough. And what does that look like when a victim can suddenly feel empowered and not be a victim anymore? What does it feel like coming out of those prison bars of grudges, those prison bars of feeling hurt, prison bars of feeling like a victim and having a chip on the shoulder and repeating a pattern over and over again? What's it feel like to wake up? And I think this character makes breakthroughs at the end of this book. She makes a big breakthrough as she, well, I'm not going to say because I don't want to give it away, but she makes a very significant breakthrough that breaks apart from the patterns in the family. However, I feel like I need three books to show the whole arc. And yeah, the biggest theme is forgiveness. To try and bow down with respect for what, how big that is in a world that's polarized and fighting and where we are violent, and what might forgiveness look like, you know, within a family.
That sounds amazing. That sounds great. Yeah. No, very, very exciting. Cause I think this is, it's not a self-help book per se. It's a novel. So it reads like a novel. Like you can be on the beach reading this book, but it's powerful. It's a story of hurt and pain and redemption is what it sounds like. And that's really exciting. And I think a lot of people would be interested in reading this book. And I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show and sharing your tool that you have used, your gifts, to be able to help others who are struggling themselves. And so I think this is great. So tell us a little bit, if someone's listening and they're interested, where can they go to purchase your book?
SallyLeeStewartAuthor.com. And there's some different buttons you can click, and be great to go to bookshop, just because that will make a donation to your local independent bookstore. And I really like to support independent bookstores.
Oh, I like that.
And local economies.
Yeah.
So there's some choices there for you there's three different choices.
Great. Yeah. And I'll have that on the show notes. So if someone's listening to this and they're not able to remember the exact website, they can go to the show notes and look at that. And you had mentioned as well that you do some daily writing in a blog, right? You have Substack and they can go to the website as well.
Yes, I do. I have a Substack account, and I'm still trying to think of some kind of really nice title, but right now it's just Sally's Substack.
It works.
I don't know what to name my little publication yet. It's mostly prose poems inspired by the very wild place where I live and photography of nature. So thank you so much for making time for me on your show, John.
You're very welcome, Sally. It was so nice to meet you. And I'm really excited for my listeners to get your book and read it. And hopefully they'll be able to contact you as well and tell them how much that they enjoyed the book. I know it's fun. It's fun hearing back from people. I know I occasionally get that as well from my podcast. So it's a lot of fun to hear that and get that encouragement.
Yes. Joy is a great thing. The joy of communicating and connecting with each other and healing.
Yeah. We all need that, don't we?
Yes. Well, thank you for creating this remarkable space for those things to
You're
happen.
Very welcome. Thank you. You're very, very welcome. And I want to just mention thank you to all my listeners, too, of the Mental Health Today show. Without you, there's not a show. So I'm glad that you're listening or watching. If you're on YouTube, you can watch this as well. I appreciate you. And as always, I want to encourage you to continue working on your mental health. Continue to listen to this podcast, because you're going to meet a lot of really interesting people like Sally. All right. Take care, my friends. Until next time. Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.